A chimp is a chimp is a chimp, or so people thought for centuries. And then about 70 years ago, a few scientists realized that not all chimps were alike, or even the same size. The smaller ones, called pygmy chimps, were later named bonobos. Today, they're reshaping our models of primate behavior. Unlike their cousins, the so-called common chimpanzees, bonobos live in peaceful, egalitarian groups, where females run the show. Add to that one remarkable trait, they have sex nearly every chance they get, and you have a most unusual animal. In a new book, primatologist Franz de Waal calls the bonobo the forgotten ape. He told Steve Paulson that bonobos may change our understanding of human history.
We have had for 30 years a very negative, aggressive image of our ancestor. Our ancestor conquered the world by eliminating other peoples. That's basically the picture. So aggression and hunting and warfare and male dominance are very prominent in the evolutionary scenarios. Now, if you look at the bonobo, nothing is there. The bonobo is relatively peaceful, resolves a lot of conflict with sex, and is female dominated. So there's very little warfare. For example, chimpanzee groups have warfare between them, bonobo groups don't. And so suddenly this whole new image that we have of a close relative of ours is putting question marks all over that evolutionary scenario that we had before.
So you're saying the bonobo is really very different than the chimpanzee, even though to most people they look identical.
Yeah, superficially they look similar, and of course for a long time they were lumped together as one species until they were distinguished in 1929. But now that we know more about them, both physically, I would say, and also behaviorally, it's quite a different species. Now physically, for example, it's a more elegant animal than a chimpanzee. They have longer arms and legs, more gracile build, and so if you know them, you can immediately see the differences.
You write that the chimpanzee resolves sexual differences with power, while the bonobo resolves power differences with sex, which is a nice way of distinguishing the two species.
Yeah, the chimpanzee males especially are constantly in competition over status, and status translates into sexual privileges, and that's why they're so highly motivated to do this. Now, if you look at the bonobo, they also have conflicts, although much less and less intense than in the chimpanzee. But if conflicts occur, the first thing they do is they have sex between them, and that resolves usually the issue. So the bonobo is really a make-love-not-war type of species, and the chimpanzee isn't.
Wait, you're saying that when they have conflicts, for instance, if two males are, I don't know, ready to fight over something, they might have sex?
Yeah, male bonobos are very competitive with each other, more than the females are. And very often, if one male chases another, then immediately it ends in them standing rump-to-rump, it's called, or rump-to-rump contact, where they rub their scrota together, and that's their way of reconciling the differences. In females, it's even much more intense. The behavior is known as GG rubbing, or genital-genital rubbing. Females will cling to each other, almost like an infant clings to a mother, and rub their genital swellings together and have a sexual contact that's quite intensive. It's not very long-lasting, but it's quite intensive between them.
So sex, obviously, is not just about reproduction among bonobos. It's central to their social organization.
Yeah, in bonobos, I would estimate that probably 75% of all the sex that's going on has nothing to do with reproduction, because it occurs outside the female's fertile period, or it occurs between males or between females. And so there's a lot of sexual contact that has nothing to do with reproduction. And so they're a prime example of the use of sex for broader social functions, as probably also occurs in our species.
Hmm. Can you give me one or two examples of how this might work?
Well, an example would be, let's say in a zoo colony, you throw in a cardboard box in the enclosure. The first thing that happens is that, let's say, two females approach the box. Now, normally this could lead to a big fight of who's going to get this toy to play with. But what the females will do is they will immediately engage in some GG rubbing, so they cling to each other and they have this sexual contact. And before you know it, they're sharing the box and together playing in the box. And so they have resolved what could potentially be a problem between them. They have resolved it with some sexual contact. And another example would be, and that's really even more typical, is after a fight between two individuals. Let's say a male punishes an infant and the mother comes over to protect her infant. Then before you know it, these two will have sex, and that resolves the whole issue between them.
Hmm. Why do you think it's so different among bonobos than among chimpanzees, where I know the sex is much more restricted?
Well, we don't know exactly why bonobos have selected sexual behavior to resolve a lot of these issues, but it is true that they live in a different kind of environment that is actually richer in food sources, so that they can travel in larger parties, and as a result, they have become more sociable than chimpanzees. Chimpanzees, especially the females, need to disperse over the forest to get enough to eat. They cannot travel around as a big group. And so you don't get these female alliances, because that's another part of the bonobo society, is that the females not only travel together, but they have all this sex, they have bonding, they form very efficient alliances that help them to dominate the males, and the female chimps never achieve that point.
The females dominate the males among bonobos.
Yeah, the bonobo is a female-dominated society, which is, well, that's really unique. There are very few primates and very few mammals in general where females dominate, and that we have an animal so closely related to us. They share 98.5% of their DNA with us. I mean, this is a real close relative. To have an animal where females are dominant that is so close to us is, of course, extremely exciting and is overthrowing a lot of established notions about what the natural order should look like.
And again, that's very different from chimpanzees, where there is always one dominant male, isn't there?
Yeah, in chimpanzees, every adult male, if he's healthy at least, will dominate all the females. There's almost never an exception to that.
So again, why are bonobos so different?
Well, the reason that in my book Bonobo, where I speculate about why bonobos have formed this society, has to do with the evolution of infanticide. Infanticide is the killing of infants. Well, it's a sort of gruesome story, but there are many animals, such as gorillas and chimpanzees, but also lions and bears and prairie dogs, in which males kill infants on purpose, we think, because they manage by killing infants to get females to come in their fertile period a little bit sooner, and so they can increase their reproduction that way. Now, what bonobo females may have done is find a solution to this problem, because of course for males this may be a good strategy. For females, killing infants is never going to be a good strategy. And so what the female bonobos have done is first of all form effective alliances that help them chase off males who might have, let's say, bad intentions towards the infants. And second of all, and even maybe more important, to have sex a lot of the time, even in periods when they're totally infertile. If they're not ovulating, they have sex with lots of individuals. And as a result, there's no way for males to exempt their own offspring. They cannot know who their offspring are or not are. So for males who are potentially infanticidal, this is never going to work because they cannot exempt their own offspring. And so we have this situation where gorillas and chimpanzees are infanticidal, bonobos, as far as we know, are not. And it may be that the females have developed a very interesting trick by having sex with lots of males all the time to prevent infanticide.
Are female bonobos roughly the same size as male bonobos?
Now, females are 85% of the weight of males, which is about the same ratio as in our species. So physically, there's no way a single female would normally be able to dominate a single male, but the females do manage, because of the social situation, to dominate males.
What happens if a male is particularly aggressive? What happens to that fellow?
Well, males are almost never aggressive to females in bonobos, and I think that's because from very early on they're conditioned that that's never going to work, especially with the older females. The older females are very firm with males, and one of my students, Amy Parrish, she collected all the instances of injuries in all the zoos in the world that have bonobos, which were only 40 instances, but all 40 of those were males who were injured by females, and never the other way around, as would often happen in chimps.
Well, there's some fascinating implications for what this might mean for humans, or at least for our ancestry. And I want to go back to the sex for a moment. Do we have anything to learn from bonobo sexual behavior?
Well, the one thing that we can learn is that people who try to tell us that sex is intended for reproduction and that's the only function for which it is intended and should never be used for anything else, well, those people are probably wrong for our species. They're definitely wrong for a very close relative of ours.
And can we generalize, can we speculate at all about what our ancestors, our common ancestors with the ancestors of the bonobos, might have done in their sexual behavior 5 or 6 million years ago?
Well, it's probable that since the chimpanzees are promiscuous in a very different way than bonobos, and bonobos are promiscuous, that that's what the common ancestor was. We, of course, have a very unique feature. We developed nuclear families, which bonobos don't have and chimps don't have. In bonobos and chimps, it's the females who care for the offspring, and males do actually quite little on that. We have nuclear families which require a very different moral system, so to speak. So I don't want to belittle our moral systems because they protect the family by telling us that it's not good to fool around with everyone, because if that happens, of course, the whole family system will fall apart. And so we have developed these nuclear families which involve males, and the males are involved in childcare. Or provisioning for children, which is not the case in bonobos and chimps. And that's maybe the secret of our success, is maybe that males more heavily got involved in childcare so that people could have more children than chimps or bonobos. Chimps or bonobos have a female has a child every 5 or 6 years. And so in her whole lifetime, she cannot have more than 5 or 6 children. So it's very limited what they can do given their single parent family system.
As I listen to you, I can't help but think that bonobos are the good ape and chimpanzees are, well, maybe not the bad ape, but at least not such a desirable ape.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is that, of course, we have to look at both to probably to understand ourselves. What we share with chimpanzees is male bonding. There's very little of that in bonobos, but there's plenty of that in chimpanzees. Male cooperation in the hunt, male warfare, and that's definitely something that we share with them. What we share with the bonobo is this high level of empathy and sympathy, the female bonding that the bonobos have, very clear in our societies as female bondings as well. And what we have unique ourselves is the nuclear family system, where you have bonding between male and female and collective caretaking of offspring. So we share with each species a very important element of our society. And so the discovery of the bonobo and the increased knowledge that we have really enriches the picture of our history, probably.
Frans de Waal is a primatologist at Emory University and the Yerkes Primate Research Center in Atlanta. Steve Paulson talked with de Waal about his book, Bonobo, The Forgotten Ape.